On the cover, a brilliant glittering ball is being dropped from the top of a skyscraper in the center of Protean City. The excited crowds below count down to the new year. Among the swirl of color in the center of the ball is a familiar string of hex code that forms two smiling eyes.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 21, Recovery. Issue 4, A New Year.
The first panel of the comic shows Dr. Demoniaco, the original, the hero, the luchador who can take out vampires and werewolves and anything. And he has his full outfit, his full luchador hood, and he's got a werewolf held up in one hand above his head, and he goes, Feliz Navidad! And he just spikes him into the ground. And the next panel shows us pulled back and all of the kids in Picoy, like, losing their freaking minds as they watch their favorite Christmas special. And in the back of the room are Sage, Ben, and John.
So it's the same evening?
Yeah, I think so, unless... Okay. Unless you have reason for it not to be.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
John is John-shaped again, though. He is not wearing his Puck costume.
Yeah.
And the mist has cleared out of this room. As soon as Puck was gone, it started to dissipate.
Totally.
John, what are you sitting on?
Oh, what am I sitting on?
Terry.
What would be weird?
We have those, like, counter things that we had, like, stools around. Like,
yeah, he's definitely just sitting on a counter.
Okay, cool.
There's a I think there's probably, like, there's a little, like, like a half kitchen bar thing at some point.
Okay.
And, like, and Ben and Sage are probably sitting on the stools.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, the microwave is, where they make popcorn for the kids. But John is just sitting on the the counter, probably with
so
his
much
elbow, like, his arm on the, his arm is up on the microwave, just leaning.
So much corn Fanta.
Yeah. John, I hope it's okay. I made you up a room down the hall. It's one of the kids, you know, a kid room, but
it's
like,
fine.
It's comfortable. It has a bed.
I sleep in a lighthouse sometimes.
Yeah, it's much better than that. Are you hungry? Do you need dinner?
That's fine. I got some food when I was at my parents' house.
Okay, one pickle.
Yeah, editor's note, one pickle.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn in, but if you need anything, just come get me.
Are you sure? Like, I'm going to stay up for a little bit longer, get some work. I could throw some Hot Pockets on. I mean, I'm going to make some anyway, so.
That sounds good, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
Boy bonding time.
Yeah.
Have a good night. And I'm going to... go to my room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to go sleep?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. So I think we leave the boys with holding up two boxes of Hot Pockets, trying to decide which one to do.
John, Kalino and I always have the pineapple ones.
But the Insector one has green ooze inside it.
And then the next panel just shows Sage, like, shows the click of Sage's door down the hallway. And Sage, what are you doing?
While the mist was flowing through the house.
Yeah.
And I felt this dread and doom. For the first time, like, I really felt it. And I'm understanding the weight that John has been under this whole time.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm one of the only people that could maybe help.
Okay.
So I'm going to pull out every book I have on possession
mm-hmm.
and dark spirits and demons and things like that. I'm going to just throw them all out on the floor and light a bunch of candles. And I'm feverishly studying, but I'm also kind of talking to myself like, you can do this. It's still there. You can do this. You just have to find the key. You just gotta unlock it. And I'm just kind of talking to myself, like giving myself a pep talk and furiously looking through my books for some sort of answer on how to get control of my powers so that I can help John.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think you got a lot of those books on possession and things like that after you were yourself possessed by the hex worm.
Correct.
Which is a magical computer virus that is implanted in your brain that takes like the form of essentially like an enormous worm serpent-y thing.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
It's great.
So as you're going through the books, we get the hex worm's voice, which used to be all like robotic, but now has taken on a more like just hissing biological feel as it's been in your brain more and in computers less. And it goes, "Oh, Sage, this again trying to figure out how to get rid of me."
Well, you're not exactly a great roommate.
I've offered to help in so many different ways.
I don't like the help that you're offering. It always feels sort of one-sided.
And there's just like a little bit of silence for a moment and a couple of panels that you're like given free piece to look through things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, "I could show you the information you're looking for. Bring every page you've read into your mind all at once. Give you all the knowledge, everything that you've done your research with, bring it to you, make it accessible to you right now."
And how much does that cost?
Nothing. I'm so tired of you reading books.
Why should I believe you? You've done nothing but hurt me and cause trouble since you got here.
Let's have you pierce its mask.
Great. Awesome. Oof, that's a 4.
Oh boy. It pauses for a moment and we get a couple of panels that show times when you've been in conversations with it where you've been near technology. And these are just like kind of recap panels, times that we've like literally a redrawn panel, but in kind of like grays and blacks, except for little single lines of red code coming off of your head into various different things in your surroundings. And that's just for the readers. I don't know that Sage necessarily gets that. But then the voice comes through again and says, "I am not meant for living in flesh. My time grows short, and I simply have no more reason left to fight you." What do you do?
It's tempting. I think this is the first time that I've been genuinely tempted because he sounds more human. He sounds tired. Like, if it was a person standing in front of me, I might believe them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they sound truthful.
Yeah.
But I know that this is a bad thing.
Yeah, the voice is definitely weaker. Even the speech panels look like kind of frayed and breaking down.
What would happen if you helped me help my friend? I'm not going to let you out, but maybe I could give you something to do.
It pauses for a moment again, and it says, "I cannot live in a flesh host. Find me a robotic body, a computer body. It can be off of every network. It needs no connections to anything else. You could let me live.
See, that's where this gets complex, little buddy. I have no interest in you living. And I'm going to turn on my stereo as loud as it will go mm-hmm. and put on my headphones mm-hmm. and try to drown him out and go to work.
And like, as you've got the headphones on, we see, like, as the readers, just little lines of the codes going around the headphones. It's leaking out.
It's leaking out?
Yeah, that's what we saw for the readers with it, like, being in these little review sections. And I will say, I'm being honest about it being weakened.
Yeah.
But it's also leaking out. We end that page with Sage surrounded by her books and, like, the little tentacles of code from the hexworm coming off of her in a way that she is clearly not aware of yet. And the next page shows that obviously it's a different time. Like the sun is out and everything like that. And we get basically three different sets of phones ringing. One, and so like, these are just like at different times, right? Probably one right after the other. Mm-hmm. But each of them is Ramon, Winshear, calling, young Ramon, your Ramon, our Ramon, calling and saying, so we get like, I don't know if you get voicemail or if you actually answer your phone, it would be weird. But basically the essence is, hey, team, I have been kind of a dick to some of you lately. And like, we're coming into the new year and that sucks and we should get together. And like, I don't know if you got New Year's plans. I don't really have New Year's plans, but I found this kind of cool place. And I thought if you wanted to come, you know, hang out and stuff, that's where I'm going to be. I'm with Dewey and he's going to send you a Google Maps invite so that you'll be on Google Maps. And then you can use that to find the place. And no? Okay. All right. Bye. Click. Yeah.
He's so good at everything.
He's very good at everything. It's a bit weird for me to just be like, yeah, I'm hanging out with Dewey, but he's part of the family now. He's part of the weird, fucked up family.
Yeah.
So, you're invited to a New Year's party of sorts.
Mm.
Do you want to do any... Do we want to dress up for this?
I don't think I will.
Okay.
Before we go, Ben and I have to figure out who's going to watch the chillins when we're gone. I'm going to ask Penny to watch the kids. She is maybe 14. She's made of copper and she is slowly rusting. It's really sad. So she gets really angsty when she's rusty, when we haven't been able to clean her, you know, and help her out. So, but she is responsible. She cares very much about doing the right thing. She's helped us out in the past. So I'm going to offer her a grown-up position for the evening. And tell her if she needs anything, she can call me. And I'm then going to nudge Ben and ask him to turn on all the cameras so I can still check in, like, baby monitor hovering.
Mm-hmm.
But Penny can watch them. Yeah, she's good.
And she's, like, she's expressing, like, you're like, yeah, you know, I've got it. Don't worry about it. And then, like, you're outside of the building looking down at Frequency's phone.
Uh-huh.
And she is just, like, beset upon by small children.
Yes.
And she would never let you see her do this,
uh-huh.
but she's pretending to be like a big Dr. DeVillis stomping through a city mm-hmm. with like the kids all hanging off and she's like, rah, rah, and they're all cracking up.
And I'm smiling. I mean, that's cute.
And are you two are in regular street clothes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not knowing where we're going, I wouldn't dress up. Why would I dress up?
I haven't dressed up since, I think, the dilettante ball.
Yeah.
And that didn't go well, so I have no interest.
John is always pretty preppy.
Okay, yeah.
He's probably less preppy right now because he hasn't been home in a couple days.
Yeah.
And so he's wearing whatever, like, whatever he had on, but it was still like, it was something with a collar.
The place that he's directed you to is like in Center City, but it's sort of like down like a weird, it's down like a weird street. And like you're looking around kind of like, it's a sort of beat up little place. And there's a like there's a 5-story building there that just has like signs on it that say that it's closed and no one should enter. But there's a fire escape and there's like a rope hanging down from the fire escape to make it easier to get up.
Are you sure we're at the right place?
I mean, this is the spot on the map.
Yeah, but he doesn't understand how Google Maps works.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He realizes that, you know, a building that was open back then might not be open now, but I don't know.
John's going to look at the rope and then just kind of like put his hands together and be like, anyone want a lift?
No, thanks. I'm good.
Yeah, sure. Give me a boost.
Fastball special.
Yeah. And so he'll put his hands out so that Ben can step into his hands and then like.
Now, easy. I only need to reach the rope.
He's going to throw him up so that he reaches the fire escape.
Great.
I'm going to climb the rope gym class style.
Nice.
I'm just going to jump up to the fire escape.
Okay. So yeah, like as you're going up, you can see into like this foreclosed apartment building. Mm. And just. This is no place special at all. But you get up to the roof and it has like a little patio basically set up. And Ramon is up there and he's in like his best approximation of fancy clothes. But he only knows like the style of the 50s. And so it's very 50s. And it's also like very cheap. Because he does not have a ton of money, but he's also like hung up a bunch of Christmas lights that he got on sale from pharmacies after the holiday and everything like that. And he's got it kind of like set up a little bit. There's a trash can that's filled with water and ice that has some like bottles of champagne in it. And he comes over with like this huge big grin on his face. And he's like, huh?
It's really nice, Ramon. Where are we?
And he kind of like looks to John with like this big expectant grin on his face and gives him like a little like knock on the shoulder.
And John goes to like fist bump him and mm-hmm. they kind of like, he wasn't expecting that. And then mm-hmm. they kind of like miss and then they like do the thing where like he grabs John's fist and then they like, it's weird. It's super awkward. Yeah. But John just kind of like smiles and gives him 2 thumbs up and is like, yeah, it's good. It's good.
Do you remember?
James doesn't remember. Would John remember? What?
No, he definitely wouldn't. Okay. This is like, it is the location in his world
of the
bookstore that they met each other at.
Then John
like
wouldn't
that.
Remember.
But like definitely, like every single building is different. Like
okay.
In there, it's like in his time, in his dimension, it is like a big center square place.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is a back alley, rundown piece of crap place that
That's
has
cute.
Like no, it doesn't have a good view. It has nothing redeeming about it.
And John just kind of like looks at him and sees that he's supposed to remember and thinks, and like John has memory manipulation powers. Like when things are important to remember, he remembers them. And so the fact that he like doesn't remember this at all is like really, he's like, no, what?
It's my Tio's bookstore, man. This is where my Tio's bookstore was in my world where we met each other and how I got with us, with the team.
And John kind of looks around and he kind of sees it for a moment and he's like, oh yeah, yeah. It was different over there. Back then?
Yeah, I had to spend a lot of time looking at maps to figure it out. It's not one to one. And he starts like going over and moves over to where like the champagne is and like just pops one off and then like looks awkwardly at the fact that he didn't get any cups.
Ramon, is that champagne?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have some.
And he like immediately just hands the bottle over to you. It's very bad. It's very cheap.
She's never had alcohol before. She won't know. So she's going to take the bottle, look at the boys like, oh, shit, I really have to do this now. I talked a big game. I'm going to drink this alcohol. And she just like takes a big swig of it. And it's bad. And it's also warm, which is worse. And she feels that like sour sting in her mouth. And she feels like she's going to vomit, but she swallows it anyway. And then she's like, wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, couldn't get like, that was pretty cheap stuff.
No, I don't think it's your fault. I think it's just terrible. Good job. It's good. And I'm going to go stand over by the side of the building in case I do throw up.
Are you still holding on to it?
No, I give it back. I'm going to just very forcefully hand it back.
Because Ben would really like to have some. Because, I mean, like, his friends are all growing up around him. And he doesn't want to get left behind.
Aww. Yeah, and Ramona's definitely there. Like, he feels like he's hosting. He's like, if Ben is, like, looking at the bottle, immediately he's like, eh?
Yeah. Ben grabs it, looks at, like, the mouth of the bottle, and looks at Sage, and just kind of shrugs. just thinking about it. But, and, like, takes a big sip. And if you look at his face, it is terrible. It's horrendous. But he swallows it. I don't know what Sage is saying. Yeah, it's pretty good. John, you should try some.
I think John just like takes a swig from it and is like, it's not terrible. I've had worse.
Sage does puke off the side of the room. Oh.
Great.
She was not ready.
Ramon kind of just like looks around and like looks awkwardly at Sage and goes like, should I help her out or?
Hey, Ramon, is it cool if I like jazz up these lights?
Yeah, absolutely. And like there's a bunch of lights. There is there's also like an old radio.
Yeah.
And also, a big antenna that used to service the building.
He already has the lights that are up are already colored lights,
mm-hmm.
white icicle lights, and regular white rope lights.
Mm-hmm.
So the lights themselves don't even match up.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like a cohesive string of lights. But I'll definitely have something, probably some actual jazz playing from the radio, because I asked if I could jazz up everything. So there's some jazz playing from the radio. And the lights are sort of blinking and going on and off with it. It's tasteful.
Very nice. And I think at that point, Ramon is going to go over to Sage and be like, hey, sorry about that.
No, it's, I'm on medication and it's just probably didn't like work out. You know, they don't like go together. It's fine. Like, it's totally not your fault.
Oh, dang. I didn't know that there's medications you don't drink with. We pretty much just had a drink when we wanted to.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, not the same here, but it doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It's a really nice party. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I'm just dealing with some stuff.
And he shrugs like super awkwardly and goes, hey, listen, if those stuff start getting to be a big problem and like I don't know what's going on half the time. I like you guys. I like working with you guys and you're my friends here, but I don't not always up to date with everything. So if I can help out, let me know. Okay, I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You're a part of the team, Ramon. I don't want you to feel like you're not. And we might need you sooner rather than later. So.
And he hugs you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awkward.
It's awkward. Like, my arms were both down and his arms went over both of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's just kind of like penguined, like,
and like as soon as he feels any discomfort, he's like immediately like pulls back and like, right? Yep. And so let's go back to Ben and John.
John is still drinking from this bottle. Okay. Apparently he's the only one who really like was interested. When he's not a snake, he holds liquor a little better. He also probably like his parents were like when he was younger, they were probably like, here, have some wine. Try
yeah,
it. Like,
yeah. And Ramon probably came from a time where he would have been drinking. It's fine.
So this is supposed to be where Ramon came from?
Yeah, yeah. When we went to the other history, it was weird because I never know how to talk about this because like it was definitely the past and it was definitely Protean City, but it was definitely different too. So like, and like also that world died. He's like, he looks around like, shit, wait, what did I just say? And he's like, the world died. And like, but we're still here. So it couldn't have been our past. But like, yeah, things were different. But like this was the building. And like, he kind of like gestures around. And he's like, and there was like those buildings weren't there. And there was kind of like a square over that way. And then like, and there were lower built, like it was the 50s. It was a simpler time. It was a cool bookstore though. I think you would have enjoyed hanging out there. I enjoyed the 5 minutes we were there.
Yeah, cool. So like you said it was like a square?
Yeah, like over there, like there was a square down the road. It was kind of a like it was a, I feel like everything like mostly everything was just shorter and there was a drugstore over that way and
Frequency. You've been kind of like fiddling with the lights and everything like that.
Yeah.
And you look over to where Ramon and Sage are, and you can see, like, there's something weird with Sage and the lights that are near her. Mm. They're kind of, like, flickering a little bit, but, like, not to the point of, like, actually coming on and off. Just the energy in them is slightly different.
They're not flickering the way they're supposed to be flickering.
They're not flickering the way, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
What do you do?
I'd probably just assess the situation myself.
Okay. Like go ahead and go ahead and roll to do that.
I'm still feeling guilty.
Uh-oh.
Plus 3 and then a minus 2. So 8.
All right, very nice. So on a 7 to 9, you get to ask 1.
So it's going to I'm not feeling like there's actual danger going on right now. But it's probably
you've kind of got your hackles up. Like, there's something about it. There's something about it that feels feels wrong through your powers, right?
My frequency senses are tingling.
Your frequency senses are tingling, yeah.
Okay. It said, what here can I use to help pinpoint the source of this weird disruption?
Nice. Your cell phones all have near field communication, except for Ramon. Who has just a flip phone, and you could do like a quick little, you've got a little bit of code that you can use to like really get a nice detection of especially anomalous events.
Okay. Now separately, I also have a criminal mind.
Oh, okay.
How could I best infuriate or provoke whatever is causing this disruption into acting out?
There is definitely something happening on like an electronic level. And there's tons of things plugged in right now. If you just start unplugging stuff, like, you'd be taking away its source of doing things. Like, it's doing something with the lights. It's doing something with the satellite. Or it's trying to, like, it's moving towards doing something with the satellite. If you start unplugging stuff,
okay,
that would probably infuriate it.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to start doing that.
Okay.
But it's more in a troubleshooting sort of sense. I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So, like, let me unplug these lights. There might be something going on with that. Yeah. Let me, like, turn the radio off really quickly. I kind of want to leave the radio on. Should I leave the radio on? Yeah.
Okay.
That way, you have to go to the radio if that's the only thing that's left on. So unplugging lights, and there's probably, you know, other things plugged in. Like, I'm disconnecting, like, a satellite dish.
Roll to provoke.
Oh, man.
And you do get a plus 1 on that, because you're acting on that answer.
Okay. I'm still also guilty, so I have a minus 2.
Uh-oh.
So that's a 7 plus 3 plus 1, but minus 2. So I think a 9.
Yeah. So as you're starting to unplug things and like unplugging and kind of like looking and everything like that.
Yeah. Checking for, I'm like checking something on my phone.
Yeah.
Like sort of waving it around.
Sage, sketch. You start hearing this growing hiss sound, like just like, and the lights start changing color to like red, and we get like the code, the zeros and ones code within the lights, and they start just like flicking around the rooftop, and a voice comes in through the radio, cease that, assets acquired, beginning reintegration, stay back, children.
Folks, I think we've got a problem.
Is this dubstep?
John's gonna charge his burn.
Okay.
What effect is this having on Sage?
Can you describe to me what it feels like to have the hexworm in your brain?
All the time or right now?
Just in general.
In general, it's like, you know when you've heard a really loud noise, like a concert or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you leave and you're in quiet, but you hear that ringing in the back of your ear? That's been there permanently since he decided to take residence. Now it's like static and spiking.
Yeah.
And it's like harsh noises.
Absolutely.
In my head.
Yeah. And so it is uncomfortable. It's not painful yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still feel its presence. Like, because it is accessing the outside world doesn't mean that it's fully out of your head at the second.
Right. And I now hear this voice that I'm very familiar
with
coming out of the speakers.
Yeah.
John is going to charge his burn.
Okay.
Just as himself. Like, he's not putting on the mask.
Okay.
They're up on a roof. No one can really see them. So he's just going to do that.
Ugh. What was that? Boy, that's a 3 and a 1.
A 3 and a 1. So 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, boy.
John just kind of like, I think as soon as he doesn't know the hexworm, does he at all, really?
No, but definitely it's something is going the hell down.
But it's threatening. And so I think he would drop the champagne bottle if he still had it. And it would just sort of smash. And so we probably get like one panel of it like in his hand letting go. Mm-hmm. And then another panel of it smashing. And then like the third panel of his hand again. But now it's like it's wreathed in the like heat flame of his like drawing power to him.
I'm going to turn around. I was still sort of facing. Is Ramon still near me or did he walk away?
No, he's right there by your side. He's kind of like, he's trying to like step between you and an incoming threat because he knows he can take hits pretty well.
I'm going to turn to him and my eyes have the red bars of like tech, but I still have my voice and I'm going to say, Ramon, don't let me fall off the roof. Don't let me hurt anyone.
You got it.
And
he's going to immediately grab onto your hand.
Sage is going to retreat into like a meditative state.
Okay.
And try to directly address this threat.
Okay.
In her head.
All right. So we get a full page spread.
Yeah.
This time for a full page spread. On one side of it is essentially the superimposed vision of Sage's mind space. And then in the other is the actual physical world. And at this point, the lines of lights have like turned and turned and twisted and manifested into this like probably unrealistically large for the amount of lights that were initially up there, like draconic worm shape, right? And it just has, like, it's got all red all along it, and it's twisting around on top of the roof, and likewise, Sage is standing in the space that is in her mind that has been kind of, like, closed off by crystals and is likewise being circled by the hexworm. So we get this effect of Sage standing next to Ben and Puck. because they're in the center of the building and she's in the center of her space. And the hex worm has like strands of lights around it, but is filled in with code.
My savior is super freaking high.
Okay.
I'm at one end of the mind arena, mm-hmm. and he's at the other, kind of circling it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like someone learned a new trick. How'd you do that?
Patience, taking my time of things. And in your mind, he still has the, it still has the more serpentine voice.
Mm-hmm. What's your plan there, big guy?
Why don't you roll to pierce his mask? It's a 7. Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy. On a 7 to 9, I believe you ask one.
What do you intend to do?
Its intention is to connect, like, the satellite antenna to some power and get it running and broadcast itself to pretty much anywhere but here, probably infecting anything it comes across in doing so. And that's like, that is its immediate plan. It is trying to do this right now.
Okay.
And you can tell that because, like, you see in kind of like the double imposed world, you see some of the end of its tail made out of the lights, like swinging around and grabbing onto a connection.
It looks like you're trying to escape, and we can't have that, can we? And she's going to, in her mind, build the burn that attempt to build the burn that she used to have.
Okay. For now, it feels like what used to be a thing of just grabbing hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're trying to like reach at it through just like 10-inch glass. Mm-hmm. It seems just so impossible and so far away. And like just a hissing, cackling laugh comes from the hexworm.
Uh-huh.
And out in the real world, does Sage's body go limp when she...
No. So okay. This has happened once before.
Oh, and she floated into the...
She lifted off the... and every piece of electronics near her started to go haywire.
Okay. So so the panel that we have that like shows the roof now...
That's why I asked Ramon to keep me on the roof.
That checks out. Ramon has one arm around Sage's waist and is just like holding on to... like using his... air power to like keep himself onto the roof as much as he can, and is like trying to just not float up into the sky with her, but like both of them have their feet off the ground, so it's going to be on you two to handle things out here. So you know what you are doing?
We're coming together as a team.
Coming together as a team against a dangerous threat.
It's
so
me.
You start at 2,
mm-hmm.
and who is the team leader?
I guess in theory it could be me, but that's weird.
It has to be you. Or we're not approach like we're not.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay. So the leader is Sage. Do you have influence over every teammate?
Yep.
All right. Plus one. Do we have the same purpose in the fight?
To kill the threat.
Just to stop and contain the hexworm.
To keep Sage safe from whatever's happening to her.
And Ramon is here to keep everyone safe.
Aww.
Do any team members mistrust the leader or the team?
I don't.
No.
Cool. Me neither. Are we ill-prepared or off-balance? Do you think so?
I know John is a little bit.
I would say yes, because I think so. We came together to hang out at a social situation.
Okay.
We weren't expecting a fight.
So
this
then,
is a surprise.
Sage, if you would like, you can mark a condition to avoid removing that team. Or we can just not get that team, and that's okay.
Yeah, I'm going to add angry.
Okay, cool. So we are now at... 4 team. And so the hexworm is you, it's like turned towards you initially, and it just like twists in this way that just conveys evil glee.
Wait, they can see the hexworm in the exterior?
They can see the essentially the Christmas lights have formed.
Oh, okay.
Have formed a hexworm of red light.
I see.
Because the hexworm is nothing if not on brand.
Are the Christmas lights moving, or yes. Are they stationary and the image is moving within the lights?
The lights themselves are moving.
Okay, cool.
Because it's like twisting around you and moving in.
Okay.
And you see it turn, its head turn, and its jaws open wide, and it hurls itself towards Sage and Ramon.
Well, then I'm definitely jumping in the way.
Okay.
Putting myself between these Christmas lights. I don't necessarily know that they're any danger, more dangerous than Christmas lights, but...
well, they are moving. You can strangle someone with them.
And Sage just got possessed and started floating. Something is happening and I want to stop it. So I guess as these Christmas lights like just hurtle towards me,
yeah,
I would just like...
And like the speaker is going like, destroy her.
I forgot that I could hear. So it's definitely, I can definitely know there's a villain attacking
us.
Oh
yeah.
I'm just grabbing the lights.
You're just grabbing the lights?
I'm just trying to pull them.
I think I'm not even trying to, I don't think I'm trying to attack the lights.
Okay.
I'm just trying to put myself physically between them to stop it.
Great.
Oh, jeez. So that's an 11 plus 3 is 14 minus 2. So 12.
Okay.
So only 12.
Only a 12. All right. So on a hit, you keep them safe and choose one. Add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
Oh, I'm clearing a condition.
Really?
Yeah. Whew. Clearing insecure. I'm here to help my friend, and I'm doing it.
Nice. So we get a panel that shows Buck just like jumping forward, grabbing fistfuls of lights, mm-hmm. and just like dragging it down and being like, being just like in this swirling, twirling mess of lights and cables and everything.
He's almost probably intentionally wrapping his arms in them to like whirlwind tie them to himself so they can't escape and go hurt his friends.
Yeah. Ramon, we get a panel that shows Ramon like just shifting his weight to push an arm down and like pull up a piece of metal from like a storm pipe, from like a drain pipe, and just clasps onto that because he can't keep using his power for that long. The cables at this point are just like flicking around the space. It's dangerous to move around. Like, we are getting hit by cables. That's not essentially mm-hmm. negotiable at this point. Mm. We're all gonna leave with like all these like pink lines on us. It's gonna suck. Frequency, what are you doing?
I'm trying to help fight in some way.
Okay.
So if you're grabbing all of those, I don't want to do anything to directly damage those lights.
Okay.
Because John's holding on to them.
Okay.
So like if he's holding them, I don't want to also hurt him in the process.
Okay.
But I'm trying to help out in some way.
You probably see like a weird middle version between like the real world that like Ramon and I see and the fully like animated cell, like whatever mind world that she sees.
I really like that idea.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
Maybe in like almost like an After Effect blue.
Yeah.
Because you get that blue vision with the other stuff.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to, I'm really going to try and read that code.
Okay.
See what that code is. What is it doing?
Okay.
Like I feel like it's changing and processing as it's thinking.
Here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
I want you to pierce its mask using Freak.
Okay.
Does that check out to you?
Yeah.
Like, so basically, like, you're getting the same kind of information that you would get of its intentionality, but you're not doing this because you're nice boy Ben. You're doing this because you are Frequency.
Freaky Frequency.
Freaky Frequency, yeah.
Oh my God. So I rolled a 3 on the dice and I have a plus 1. So I got a 4.
I thought I was making it so easy for you by saying freak.
You were.
Potential.
That's okay.
So mark potential, yeah, that's great.
I can't even help with team.
No?
I mean, that would guess to what, a 5?
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, I can help too. Maybe.
That would get us to 6.
It's not going to work.
Ramon cannot help. He's too busy.
No. Don't waste all the team on this.
Yeah. So you start looking at the code and start figuring it out and finding the shape of it. and it all starts to make sense to you. And so you start to see the full image of the hex worm. And then one of the cables snaps around your leg and just pulls you to the side of the building and just hurls you off into space. Okay. You are falling off the side of the building. Sage, what are you doing?
I have my eyes closed, my head down,
mm-hmm.
and I have my hands out as if I am charging my burn,
mm-hmm.
and I am concentrating with every ounce of my being
mm-hmm.
on charging my burn. And the only time that I don't hear the hex worm in my mind is when I'm also in my mind, because okay. he has a separate entity.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm just saying, you can do this. You can do this. This is over. This is not going to last any longer. This is done. It's got to end. And I'm just like telling myself that I can. And like straining every muscle of my body, yeah. trying to force it
yeah,
to happen.
And so like you're standing there, like putting all this energy in, mm-hmm. and the tail of the hex worm just wraps around your leg and starts like wrapping up and gumming around your body and forming around you. And it goes, yes, the time is now. It is time for me to take every bit of energy, every bit of mind, this magic you can no longer touch. It is time for me to destroy you.
I'm going to close. My eyes are still closed. I'm going to bring my arms up like around my mm. chest, and I'm just going to focus on everything that this thing has hurt,
mm-hmm.
all the trouble that it's caused, all the pain, and all the people I didn't get to save because I didn't have my powers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to open my eyes, and they are glowing purple.
Nice.
And I'm going to pull my arms apart like Black Panther style.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to push it, like break its hold on me,
mm-hmm.
and say, no, see, that's where you're wrong. You're done. So I'm going to have my moment of reclamation.
Nice.
Okay.
So this is for the costume change that you've been doing, essentially like a moment yes. of truth.
Yes.
So you read it out and we go from there.
All right. It isn't about the powers. It isn't about the tech. It isn't about the abilities. It's about being a damn hero. And you're going to show them that. With each punch, with each kick, with each second, you claim back more of who you are. And at the end of it, you'll have your power back. But nobody is likely to forget that you led people without them. And that's a lot to carry, even with super strength.
All right.
Well
so,
written.
Thank you. So, do you want to take the next panel? Because now you are in moment of
yes.
truth.
Yes.
That means you are doing things. Things can still happen. There are still opportunities for players to do
I
other things. But
bet there's going
to
be an explosion. So, I pull my arms apart.
Mm-hmm.
I gather the flames in my hands that I used to get, and mm-hmm. my entire body is glowing with that purple like aura that I used to have. My eyes are glowing purple, and I start to rise up away from the broken tail of code that I've escaped.
Nice.
And I'm going to look at the face of the hex worm, who at this point knows something has changed dramatically.
Yeah, it draws back and it goes, no. It can't be.
See, you had your turn, and I was too weak before to know how to stop you. But I'm a fighter now, and I'm done fighting with you. I have bigger fish to fry. And I'm going to raise my hands and just shoot like a combo of fire and white magic.
Nice.
At the core of the hex worm.
Nice. What does that look like in... Does that manifest in the spirit world and the physical world, or just in the spirit world?
I think in the spirit world, it looks like a big hyper beam kind of
okay.
force shot.
Yeah.
In the real world, I think it looks like I'm either on fire or glowing or something is happening. Ramon probably should let go for his own health.
Yeah, there we've got a panel that shows him like holding on and like really straining, and then you just like continuing to rise and starting to glow, and him just, his strength just failing him and him just falling down onto his back.
So I rise up and I shoot at him, and with the intention of obliterating any trace of code.
Yeah, and the code just starts to, like, in the mindscape, the code just starts to rip away, and like shreds of binary just blasting out.
As it explodes, as the code breaks, the shards of code break off of the crystals that were keeping us in a cage, basically, and start to break down the walls, and I start to get light coming in again, where it once was very dark and full of pointy objects.
Yeah.
Each break in the crystal is a hole of light coming into my mind. And by the time it's destroyed, I'm hovering in a white space, a clean space.
Yeah.
And I start to fill it with my purple light. And just like a calm washes over me. And I feel for the first time like at home and at peace and safe. And I'm going to open my eyes in the real world.
And looking around, you can see with the amount of power you have in you right now, everything seems slow. This is maybe more than you've ever had in your body. This is like a rush back. And so reality itself is just moving slowly. You can see the lights from the hexworm just like falling towards the ground, like falling towards the roof in slow motion. You can see Ben just falling out off the side of the roof. He's probably 4 feet outward and just falling slowly down. He's down probably like a half a story at this point. It doesn't look good.
I'm going to reach out with my powers.
Yeah.
And catch him very gently.
What does that look like?
It just looks like he hits like a, one of those inverted, like a, what do I want to say? Like an inverted, pocket of air.
Okay.
And it catches him and you see that little like boosh, like he lands on a cloud.
Yeah.
And then it starts to just raise him up very slowly back up to the surface. And it takes almost no movement or concentration for me. It's just very effortless and clean.
And the... there's just a moment that you can feel the buzzing go away. And I think since the beginning of this, there was a little, you know how Protean City Comics loves doing the little line of text at the bottom of the things.
And it
was
very just going, them.
Yeah. Just going zzzz and fading out slowly.
The outline of every panel, if you look really close, where little tiny like Z's all the way around.
And just that like buzzing in your ear is gone.
Yeah.
So you've reclaimed your powers.
Yeah.
Bringing you back to being the Nova.
Yeah.
Are you taking this? You have an option at this point. Are you taking the same abilities you had before? Or are you taking different abilities?
I am taking back sorcery.
Okay.
I have gained other burns.
Okay.
That are more offensive.
Okay, cool.
Rather than defensive.
Nice.
But I don't think I'm going to run to them as frequently as I did before to defend myself with.
Cool.
Because I'm a very different person now.
I like it.
Yeah. And I still have gauntlets, so.
Nice. And so slowly time starts to catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you are floating above the ground on a roof with over... you're floating above the side of the roof, and there's just shattered Christmas lights everywhere.
Yeah.
And like the big garbage can full of water, and like water and ice to try to get the champagne cool has been knocked over, and like a couple of the champagne bottles are broken. One of them looks like it's still okay. And your friends are there. Probably, I know Ramon would be looking on with like shocked face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same.
Ben just looks up at you and is like, Sage, thank you. I mean, Penance, thank you so much.
I don't think that works anymore. And I'm starting to like, it looks like I'm walking down invisible stairs.
Okay.
Down to the roof, and I'm still very glowy.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely worked. I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course. I don't feel like penance anymore, though. She was afraid of everything. And I'm a lot less afraid now. I think I'm the night owl. And I'm going to turn to Ramon, who has never known me this mm-hmm. way. And I'm going to say, you did really well. I'm really grateful. This is the first time I didn't hurt anyone. Thank you. And I'm going to hug him.
And he's definitely going to hug back. So express vulnerability or weakness first.
Tell them how they could stop you if it came down to it and give them influence over you and clear a condition.
So. Okay.
So take influence over me.
Okay. Which I think I did not have.
I don't think you did either.
Yeah.
We don't interact a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you may have told him that. Like, basically,
I think I
said
already did.
That his powers are... that he has a shot with his powers to fight you.
The thing I'm saying is you are of equal strength. I see you as an equal.
Okay.
Because you were able to keep me grounded and
okay.
keep others safe from me
yeah.
when other people couldn't.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
And so I take influence.
And I clear a condition, but I don't have any.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And now why don't you roll to comfort or support?
That's a 9 plus, what is that, mundane?
Mundane.
Yes.
7. Mm-hmm. It's a 7.
All right. So on a 7 to 9, on a hit, they hear you. They mark potential, clear condition, or shift labels if they open up to you. Yeah, I think he's going to open up.
Yeah.
So you hug him, mm-hmm. and he falls very easily into hugs. Like, he is very much someone who is like, he has had a big extended family, 4 Evskis. So that's mm-hmm. like very... very open to him. And he just like kind of like wraps you up and like tight in his arms for a second and just goes like, I thought we were gonna lose you. And I'm so glad we didn't.
We might have if you hadn't been here.
I'm going to clear angry so I can mark angry again sometime soon.
And then I'm just gonna turn to Ben and John and just say, thank you. I don't know what else to say.
Thank you.
And we turn the page, and the first panel right up in the top is a bottle of champagne just popping off and like uh-huh. shooting champagne everywhere because it got knocked over by a horrible technological worm made flesh. And we have the 4 heroes just on this sitting, let's say sitting on the edge of the building with like the champagne bottle being passed around and the radio in the background doing like getting ready for the countdown.
As it starts to count down, I'm gonna throw some light out on the city and make it a better view than it is normally.
Yeah.
And it's just like twinkle lights, nothing, you know, too spectacular, but it just sort of looks like stars on the city.
Yeah. So Ramon just has his hand like around Sage's shoulder,
mm-hmm.
like just like so happy in this moment. This year's going to be good. We're going to get done what we need to get done. I'm going to get back. You're going to figure out your doom stuff. You've got your powers back. We're not even there yet. We're not even starting the year and we're starting it off so good.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And right at that one... right before we hit the big zero, Frequency projects out like a hologram of what we're like out in front of us. And it's trying to match up what John was describing earlier of the view from the rooftop back in Ramon's history, in Ramon's world, so that he can have sort of a piece of home away from home while we're still working to get him back.
And like definitely we get a panel that shows them like surrounded by that. And Ramon's got tears going down his face, like real open, but like just a huge smile on his face.
There's got to be like fireworks going off in the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And Sage is going to put her arm around Ramon too. The last panel is zoomed out on their backs with their arms around each other and yeah. the city splayed out in front of them.
There is a very last page. Mm-hmm. It's maybe like only a couple panels. And it's later in the party as things are like maybe starting to be cleaned up. And John is going to find Ben and he's going to be like, hey, I have a question for you. You know how to contact the miscreants, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Why? What's up?
Do you have the Verminister's phone number?
Yeah, I should have it.
Could I get that from you?
Yeah, sure. Not a problem.
Okay. And then there's one final panel of John calling mm-hmm. the Verminister. And we get one line of dialogue of John. And he's just saying, hey, do you want to be a hero?
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Penance is played by me, Elsbeth Dedman, and I can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at And the Meltdowns. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.